All please stand and pledge allegiance to the flag. And please remain standing as the invocation will be given by Pastor Mark Krieger of Modesto Covenant Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to begin today by first recognizing your presence with us this morning and the many blessings that you've given us. Thank you for the gift of life, for health we need to fulfill our callings, and for all that you supply for living together as a community. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work, and thank you for the responsibilities you've given each of us. We also thank you for the freedoms you give us, freedoms that will be exercised even in this meeting today. We also want to thank you for loving us according to your grace and mercy. In the scriptures, you've said that citizens ought to obey and pray for governing authorities, since you've established those very authorities to promote peace, order, and justice. Therefore, this morning, I pray for our county supervisors, for the various levels of county officials, and in particular this assembled board meeting today. We ask that you would graciously give them wisdom to govern amid the challenging issues of our times, a sense of the needs of the people in our county, a thirst for justice and rightness, the ability to work together in harmony even when there's honest disagreement, and personal peace and joy in each of our lives. Lord, I pray for the agenda today that is set before this body. Give them your direction so that they would most benefit those who live and work in this wonderful place we call home, Stanislaus County. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. We now go, we'll go on to a presentation, and Chairman Chiesa will present the presentation at this time.
If I could, Ms. Lisa wants to come up and first show a PowerPoint, and then I will head down there.
Good morning. I'm Lisa McDermott, the director of the Carnegie Arts Center in Turlock, and I'm back again in front of you with just a little bit of an update, a quick update on what's been happening at the Carnegie this past year. As you know, the vision for the Carnegie Arts Center is to be the premier center for arts and culture in the Central Valley. If there is creativity involved, we want it to be happening at the Arts Center. So we are arts plural, visual arts, music, dance, poetry, literature, film, theater, decorative arts, graphic design, architecture. You get the picture. Over the course of our last season, we had the opportunity to present some really exciting exhibitions, including Alphonse Mucha, The Golden Age of Art Nouveau, which was our fall exhibition 2015-16. And that show featured works by the acknowledged master of the Art Nouveau style of the late 1890s. We welcomed more than 2,500 visitors and program participants during the 16 weeks that the exhibition was on view. The show featured not just his famous advertising posters, but also books, original drawings, advertising ephemera that he created, paintings, and it was an exciting show and the only place in the United States last year where Mucha's work was on view. We actually had someone fly down from Seattle to see this show because he was such a fan of Mucha's work. During the run of the exhibition, we offered many, many programs, lectures, concerts, anything that we thought touched on and expanded on the concepts of Art Nouveau in art and design. During the time that Mucha was there, we had over 1,200 students from county schools participating in field trips to see the Mucha exhibition, once again funded by the generous donors to our school bus transportation fund. So the students paid $1 per child to participate in this field trip. That included not just a visit in the gallery, where they learned with a docent about Mucha's career and the importance of his work in developing what we now see as contemporary advertising, but the students also came into the art studio and created an original work of art themselves. We had the students create a poster of their own to advertise some food product. We had them do a random draw out of a hat for what they had to advertise, so they didn't get to choose their favorite. They had to advertise whatever they drew. And they were advertising everything from tacos and cheeseburgers to eggs and spinach. You should have heard the kids try and come up with words to make spinach delightful to their audience. But this gives them the experience of putting into practice what we talk about in the gallery in terms of design and composition. But we also generated conversations that could continue back in the classroom. Advertising is very ripe for that. We were able to talk about things like truth in advertising and whether everything they see on TV is actually 100% true, and whether things that are advertised are good for you or not, and whether that matters. Those are the kinds of things that we think broaden the reach of the arts into the rest of what's going on in school, in the classroom, and in the kids' lives. Following MUCA, we present an exhibition of work by Betty Saletta. Many of you are familiar with Betty. You walk by her work out there every day. She's an artist who is probably one of the most influential artists in Stanislaus County with a wide-ranging career over the last 30 years. We focused a lot on the process of casting bronze. We were able to present video and models and molds and things that Betty uses. She came in and gave a wonderful gallery talk about the process and how she works on large-scale public commissions and smaller-scale private work. This also gave us the opportunity to highlight our county and our region. We published a brochure and a map that locates every one of Betty's more than 24 sculptures, many of them located here in the Central Valley. Along with the Betty Saletta show, we exhibited works by Alan Birnbach, who is an artist from Denver, Colorado, who happened to be working on a series of photographs in a documentary film about the disappearing lifestyle of ranchers, cattle and sheep ranchers in the western United States. Alan was generous enough to send us a group of about 35 photographs that we exhibited in our lobby galleries with the generous support of Garten Tractor. And it added an element to thinking about our region and how our ranching families are managing transitions in a contemporary world. Following that was the annual Central California Art Showcase. This was the third time we've collaborated with the Misland Gallery here in Modesto to showcase the works of artists from throughout Central California, and that's very broadly defined. There's a list of the cities that artists who were selected for the show. That's not even the artists who entered the show. That's just the artists who were selected by our panel of jurors. During that show, we, again, for the fifth year in a row, were able to host the Ceres Unified School District fifth grade students. Over 1,000 kids came from Ceres alone to see the Central California Art Showcase exhibition. Because we developed curriculum for their field trip, we had it on hand when we got requests during the spring to host schools from other schools from Turlock and Modesto. Again, their field trip includes discussions in the gallery, and in this case, we did a discussion on landscape painting and photography and how it artists use tricks of the eye and perspective to create a sense of objects receding into space and the illusion of space in a two-dimensional work of art. The fifth graders picked up on this pretty quickly and were able to make their own collage landscape utilizing these techniques and build and create something that they took home with pride. The final exhibition of the season was Ready, Set, Show, which is now the second annual exhibition of works by local school children. Kids in grades kindergarten through eighth grade were able to participate from around the region. We don't do any judging on this show. Everybody gets in and everything gets celebrated. And during that show, we had 550 visitors and program participants, including our very first summer school field trip, which was exciting. Along with all of the exhibitions, we do programming. So our Family Fridays are probably the highlight of the programming season. Once a month, we do an event on a Friday night that's free for families to participate in. We've been supported by Off-Center Thrift and Gift in Turlock throughout this year to bring in different activities for families to do together. So it ranges from music and dance, to exploring different cultures, to making art and having fun. For when we had the Yosemite Renaissance exhibition up in our lobby last September, we did a night on rock art. So we talked about rocks and how prehistoric people made art on rocks. We made pet rocks. We actually brought in a rock climbing wall, and the kids got to go out on the plaza and experience that. Stonehenge was awesome. We also show films. Last year we did twice. We showed Rango, the Johnny Depp Western, and we showed Frozen. We had 237 people show up for the screening of the sing-along version of Frozen. We just about fell out of our chairs. But we always include an art component with that, so when we showed Rango, the kids got to design their own wanted posters for their parents, mostly. We do a lot of music and dance, everything from our jazz series with the University Jazz Studies Department to Joni Morris, who's a performer who does a Patsy Cline tribute show. We had bluegrass, we had French jazz, and we tried to really keep a broad perspective going in all of the programming and events. We're lucky to have the partnership of some local groups. These are nonprofit arts organizations that don't have another home. They don't have a permanent place to sit down and perform or do their business. So we welcome the Sunshine Strummers and the Turlock Uke Jams, the Modesto Stanislaus Poetry Center, the Village Dancers of the Valley Folk Dance Group, the Turlock Drum Circle, which just started this past year. And all of these groups use the Carnegie at very minimal cost, but they bring their audience to us and they broaden the kinds of offerings that we can put out there for the community. Our newest partner this past year was Lightbox Theater Company, formed just in 2015 by two faculty members from CSU Stanislaus Theater Department. They put on their first play in October, their second play in April, and these are professional productions. They pay actors and technicians to work on these plays, so it gives professional experience to some of our students and technical people learning in the junior colleges and colleges here in the area. And they put on shows that are based on children's literature, so aimed at the young audience. Over the course of the two plays, they did 8 public performances of each show, and we had close to 900 people attend altogether. We worked with them to develop a school performance program as well. So 2 mornings during the week, between the weekend performances, they've put on the plays specifically for school groups. This was a first for us, and it turned out beautifully. We worked with Wakefield School the first time and had 288 third, fourth, and fifth graders from Wakefield attend. We reached out to the Greater Turlock Kiwanis Club, and they provided funding to purchase copies of the book that the play was based on. So every child who saw the play of those 288 students from Wakefield took home a copy of the book to read. Kiwanis stepped back up, and we did the same thing for the spring production and Cunningham School. Cunningham didn't have enough students to fill our slots, so we were able to invite other schools to participate. And the first two who stepped up were Ripon Christian School and the Van Allen School in Escalon. And again, Kiwanis provided the funding for a book, for the copy of The Reluctant Dragon, for each student to take home with them. We think this is an important part of connecting the kids and building on what we know is a priority for this board and for our county in building literacy in the elementary grades. Our art classes continue to go exceptionally well. Our spring classes finished with waiting lists, and we added a second teacher so that we could offer more classes at the end of the spring, and our summer camps ended. The last two camps we ran this summer were both full to capacity, and we're really excited about the new schedule is out and includes more classes for adults this year, which is exciting. I'm hoping that we get the attendance we want. Facility rentals have also grown in large numbers this past year. We realized close to $75,000 in net income from renting the facility out for business groups, community groups, private parties, and it's, along with membership, probably the biggest source of funding for the Carnegie at the moment. Just a quick rundown of the statistics from the 2015-16 season, and you can see that if you add up all of these people who are coming to lectures, concerts, exhibitions, field trips, the volunteers who put in time with us, and those who come on the for facility rentals, they may not be there specifically to see the art, but they're certainly experiencing the wealth that the Carnegie has to offer. We had more than 18,000 people come through our doors last year, which is up about 2,000 from the previous year. We're pretty excited. We're finishing off 2016 right now with the end of our centennial celebration, and I know we're going to talk about that in a minute. We were fortunate to have the support of two of our local businesses, Turlock Fruit Company and Associated Feed and Supply, came through at the beginning of the year with large sponsorship donations, and both of those companies have been around in the county about as long as the Carnegie Building has, close to 100 years or slightly more for these two companies. And we've been celebrating all year long, starting in February with our groundbreaking celebration, where we invited the community in to see what the Carnegie is and has become. We had local school students submit entries for an art competition, art that reflected what they imagined Turlock would look like 100 years in the future. We created a banner that we've had hanging in our lobby with 100 handprints on it. Everybody had a great time. On the desk in front of you, I've brought you all a copy of the book that premiered in April, A Century of Stories. We solicited memories from 100 of our local residents, and each one of them wrote a personal autobiographical response to their memories of the Carnegie. And these go back to someone who had grandparents who lived in the house next door to the Carnegie in the 19-teens, to people who went there to when it was the library when they were children, to the Kaleidoscope, which was the teen center in the Carnegie in the 1970s, up through the most recent one was a mom who'd brought her son to see one of the Lightbox plays just last October, and what a special experience that was. We ended up with actually 104 stories, which was wonderful. And as you read them, and I encourage you to do so, Vito, I think you've had the pleasure. They're personal, they're heartwarming, they're funny, they're touching, and it's a delightful keepsake volume on sale now in the Carnegie gift shop. In May, we celebrated downtown Turlock with an art walk downtown that featured a collaboration with the Turlock Historical Society, focusing on the role that the Carnegie has played in the downtown for 100 years. Just recently in July, we celebrated those 1970s days and when the Carnegie was the Kaleidoscope Teen Center, and with an open house party on a 70s theme. And we were really fortunate to be able to bring in some artwork by an artist who grew up here in Modesto, Matt Elson, who's now working out of Los Angeles. And he designs these amazing interactive artworks that are like life-size kaleidoscopes. You put your head in and you can see from the photograph. It's like a transformational experience. The party was everything we expected it to be and more. Coming up in September, as we close out this very special year, September 9th is our time capsule dedication. We've invited, we're having an essay contest for school children to write about life in Turlock now that somebody will be able to read 100 years from now and get a sense of what we were doing back in the day. We are working with some local businesses to put emblems or markers of their business in there to see if there's somebody from their business still around 100 years from now. That will be available around to open the time capsule and hopefully collect some kind of prize. I don't know what that'll be. It's 100 years from now. And then we're offering a free community picnic and a screening of everybody's favorite time travel movie, Back to the Future. And this event is completely free, funded by a grant from the Credit Bureau Fund of Stanislaus County through the Stanislaus Community Foundation. The most important thing that's going on, I think, in the next month, we've invited the U.S. Poet Laureate, the most important writer in the United States, Juan Felipe Herrera, to come and do a public lecture on Sunday, September 18th at 3 p.m. We're having a VIP reception ahead of time where he'll be signing copies of his books. Just give me a whisper if you want to be there. And Mr. Herrera is actually staying the night and will be returning to the Carnegie on Monday morning for a workshop with regional high school students on poetry writing and his experience as the son of migrant farm workers, rising to the heights of the U.S. Poet Laureate. And that's our keynote speaker, and that kicks off the Childhood Classics exhibition. Our major fall exhibition features original artwork by some of the country's most important children's book illustration artists. 100 years of illustration, so going back to the days of the early Mother Goose books from the 19-teens, up through the Little Golden Books series, Dr. Seuss, Maurice Sendak, Tommy DiPaola, Chris Van Allsburg, Mo Willems, if you're familiar with Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, those of you with grandchildren. Over 50 artists are represented in this exhibition. It's the first time this particular private collection has been seen publicly. And like the Mooka Show, it's premiering at the Carnegie Arts Center and then will go on a nationwide tour to other museums. It shows up from September 18th through January 15th. Field trip groups are already lining up and filling my inbox for this one, as you can imagine. In tandem with this, we're presenting our very first children's book fair. We have invited authors and illustrators for children's books and books for young adults to come over the weekend of November 5th and 6th to do talks, demonstrations, sell their books, sign their books, and we're offering that completely free to the community to come and participate and enjoy. It's been a busy year, but we're very excited and we're looking forward to the next 100 years. And I welcome all of you to come down and visit me and see what's going on at the Carnegie. If you let me know when you want to visit, we can schedule something so that you can see those school kids in action, because it really is a pretty awesome sight. I'm happy to take questions, and I know Vito has something for me.
Any questions?
I try to be thorough.
Okay. We on? We on? Can you hear me? Okay. Show of hands. How many people think that Lisa loves her job? That's right. It is infectious, and that's why the Carnegie is so successful right now. You can't give any one person too much credit, but I'm giving you a lot of credit. I have to tell you, if you haven't been down there, burned down in 2005, it got rebuilt with generous donations, and a part of it was redevelopment in 2011, I think September of 2011, and it's been on this meteoric rise ever since. We have a resolution for the 100-year anniversary, but there's one line in particular. It says, whereas the Carnegie Arts Center now provides a venue where the arts can thrive, and culture, I would add culture into that. There's not enough opportunities for arts to thrive in the community anymore. It's a tough thing when funding is cut in schools. It always goes back to music programs. It goes back to arts program. You're filling a huge void, not just for Turlock, but for the whole community. And now I see you're even expanding outside the county. So I am proud as heck to represent District 2 and the Carnegie. I'm a big supporter of the Carnegie. I try and get down there every chance I get. I love the local artists. So there was Miss Saletta's was an amazing show, really was. And then there was a show last year of the Swanson family. Mm-hmm. He has guitars, and so he had a guitar collection signed by many, many people, and it was punctuated with a concert of which one of the members of KISS, Night Ranger, and I'm trying to think.
The guy from Cheap Trick, Bunny Carlos.
Yeah, so awesome time. But it is a great venue. If you haven't had the chance, please get down there again, and let's help it thrive even more. So on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to do this, we have a resolution. I don't read resolutions. I just read that one line, but it's located in the heart of historic Turlock. The Carnegie is a place where the community and regional audience can come together to experience and celebrate art in all its forms. So hereby, now therefore, it be resolved that the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors would like to congratulate Carnegie Arts Center on their 100-year anniversary and wishes to express its gratitude for their contributions to the county. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Oh, I want to hug. Thank you so much. Thank you all.
Happy hundreds. At this time, we will now go into public comment. This is a time where anyone wishing to make a comment on any issue that's not on today's agenda has an opportunity to step forward to speak. We have a request from Carmen Sabatino.
Vito, I wanted to commend you. I remember when you did your first State of the County address, you expressed the notion that you might have a heart attack. And yet, beautiful presentation here. This morning, I want to come before you for some plain talk. The most current news is the formation of an L-No on sales tax committee that was formed to oppose the measure on the November ballot. As a former mayor of Modesto, I watched the sales tax measure that the city of Modesto attempted go down. It didn't have enough support to make it go. Local leaders opposed the city sales tax measure, for had that measure passed, the county sales tax would have no chance of being passed. So all the good things that were promised that were going to happen to the city of Modesto apparently is not going to happen because it lost. Former City Councilman Bruce Froman has written in opposition to Measure L. He's on the, his statements are on the ballot. When I appeared before you the last time, I presented you with a public records request concerning the purchase of property for a medical waste landfill that was planned at the Fink Road landfill. I still have not received an acknowledgement of that, and I hope that isn't a sign that you do not intend to comply. On another subject, I want you to know that I have scanned 6,000 documents with Bates numbers. I learned about Bates numbers going to court to help research what has been happening in Stanislaus County since I left office, since I was elected to office. I think it's a historical thing. We have not learned from our history. Therefore, we continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. For me, a partial solution to addressing corruption in this county, and it does exist, if there's any opposition to that opinion, that I'd like to know about it, is one word, and that word is accountability. Accountability. Without accountability, there's little change. Especially when we have a district attorney who uses her discretionary powers to punish her critics and protect her friends. I hope you realize how deep I feel about this, because I've watched 9 innocent people and their families destroyed, hidden out at 12th and L rather than at the main courthouse. The justice system in this county has really earned the derision from the outside world, when even this judge says, I'm glad I don't live in Stanislaus County, and refers to us as you people. Supervisor DeMartini, it is not lost on me over the years that you have used the Republican Party as a tool to eliminate nonpartisan elections in this county. Ironically, it is the very success that you've had that brings the problem to light. It is also not lost on me that the chair of the Republican Central Committee, it is your duty to make sure that only Republicans are elected to office, and that is your claim to fame. And Democrats, like me, were to be defeated in any way possible. In August of 2004, you demanded the district attorney to prosecute me criminally and vigorously, or you would cut the budget for the district attorney's office. I have an indictment for this board that for the past year you have really been going on in the Frank Carson case. There have been no threats of cutting back $5 million you have provided the district attorney. You made no comment on the fact that Sheriff Adam Christensen has been funneling money to the district attorney's office. So we ought to check into that budget. You can do what you want because the newspaper provides you with cover. In the last election, we spent $3,000, the city one, to defeat that sales tax measure. And they spent $178,000. So These signs will be going up right after Labor Day.
Carmen, could you
clean
it up a little because of the red sign? You've had your 5 minutes. Would you close it up for us?
I'm all done. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very
much. I know you don't like what I'm saying.
Okay,
but
thank you.
Just trying to get to my final.
Okay, fine.
It's a tough thing, but I do accept the challenge. Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen. At this point, we now will go into the consent calendar. Anyone on the board wishing to pull any item? If not, I open it up to the public. Anyone wishing to pull an item? Or let's put it this way. Before the board takes action on the consent calendar, does anyone in the audience wish to make a comment or have a question on any matter on the consent calendar? If so, please come forward. If not, I bring it back to the board and ask, what is your wish?
Motion to approve consent.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed. We now will go to the 905 public hearing at this time with a presentation.
Good morning, Chair Monteith, members of the board, Mr. Dorey, Mr. Risen. I'm Angela Freitas, Planning Director. With me this morning to present the first of two Planning Commission recommendations is Rachel Weiss, Associate Planner.
Good morning, members of the board. Rachel Weiss, Stanislaus County Planning. Today we have before you Williamson Act Cancellation, General Plan Amendment and Rezone Application, PLN 2016-0013, Finley Automotive Group. This is a request to cancel the Williamson Act on a 0.71 acre parcel, amend the general plan on 9.42 acres, and rezone 11.0 acres to a new PD to allow an auto dealership. The property is located at the southwest corner of Pellendale and McHenry Avenues in the sphere of influence of Modesto. It currently has a general plan of urban transition and plan development, and we are recommending that change to plan development. The city has it, City of Modesto has it in their plan to be regional commercial, which is consistent with our plan development and consistent with the car auto dealership. Currently the site is zoned A210 and PD143, and we are recommending that it be rezoned to a new plan development. This is the current aerial. And here is the 0.71 acre parcel, the 9.42, and then this is a home site. I will talk about that later. This is the proposed site, and they are recommending that the automotive sales building go here. The service building here, you'll have right in, right out off of McHenry, right in, right out on future Detroit, and there will be a D-cell lane added after the redesign of Pellendale, and they'll restripe it to accommodate that lane. Your drainage basin, and then this will be future overflow parking. The project will require mergers and lot line adjustments to get rid of these property lines for the proposed buildings. And currently, the lot line for this parcel at 342 Wells cuts through the accessory building and the pool, so a lot line has been submitted and reviewed to move this 45 feet. The sectional district map for this project reflects the after lot line boundaries so that we do not end up with a split zoned home site parcel. The first order of business with this project is to cancel the Williamson Act, contract number 75-2013 on the 0.71 acre parcel. At one time, all three of these parcels were enrolled under the same contract. A non-renewal was filed for these two, which expired in 2015. And a non-renewal for the 0.7 filed May 2nd, 2016. As part of that Williamson Act cancellation, the project's referred to the assessor for a cancellation valuation and to the Department of Conservation. An original assessor valuation was part of the Planning Commission staff report. New information came to light, and that was reassessed by the assessor that is now an attachment on the board report that shows the new value. The project was supported by the Department of Conservation for cancellation. General plan and zoning consistency. The plan development for the auto dealership is consistent with the requirements of sphere of influence and for our general plan, and the zoning, the rezone to plan development will be consistent with the general plan and the auto dealership under that zone consistent with the zoning. The project was referred to all responding agencies and departments. Caltrans required a traffic study, which is part of the staff report. No mitigation measures were required as long as the right in, right out continued to be utilized off Pellendale and off of McHenry. Before you, you have amended minutes to replace the ones in the board report. And on July 21st, 2016, no one spoke in opposition. The Planning Commission, on a 6-0 vote, recommended that the Board of Supervisors approve the project subject to amended development standards. Those amended development standards clarify triggers on improvements for public works. And that brings us to the close. Staff's recommendation is that you approve the project and subject to the amended assessor's valuations and subject to the findings that are on pages 1-3 of the board report. And that concludes my presentation, and staff is available for questions.
Does the board have any questions or concerns?
Just one quick question. The new information that came to light, $450,000 down to $278,000. How'd you guys get there? How did that?
I received the report from the assessors, and I read through it, and from what I understand, it was the way that they provided more information, and it wasn't assessed. They looked at it two ways, one with all four parcels together, and then one with the 0.71 acre by itself, and then made the assessment based on the highest and best use. So it looks like they added more parcels in when they were figuring how much that assessment value was.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board at this time?
I just had one comment. I noticed this is going to be using a septic tank and not hook up to the sewer system, even though there's a system nearby. So this is allowed to?
Correct. We have a policy that if it's so far away, we can't require them to tie into the septic. And the closest sewer line is 1,425 feet to the south. When it becomes available, and when it's annexed into the city, then yes, that will be something that needs to be looked into. We didn't have a nexus at this time to require it, but it has been before the city council and it does have an approved will serve letter for water.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. Any other additional questions or concerns?
What kind of cars are they going to sell there?
Fast ones.
What kind?
Fast ones.
Oh, fast ones? We need a McLaren dealership there.
Anyway, additional? Well, in that case, the public hearing is now open.
Chairman Monteith, members of the board, it's Dave Romano. It's a great pleasure to be here this morning. This is an interesting project, and it was a challenging project, and we had the right people to help us work on this. About a year ago, I received a call from Mr. Haggerty that said he had an auto dealer that was interested in the Burchill property. The Burchill property is that last undeveloped corner, the corner of Pellendale and McHenry. And he said, you're going to be excited about these guys. And I said, who is it? He said, you need to get online and look up Findlay Automotive Group. And I recommend that you all do it. They sell cars Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Oregon, Idaho. This is their first excursion into California. They sell about 25 different brands. They're great corporate citizens. Their base is in Henderson, Nevada. And I got an opportunity to meet with them early in the process. And we said, you know, the challenge here is that part of the property's subject to the North McHenry Corridor Agreement between the city and the county, and part of it's outside of that. So we're not quite sure how we're going to thread this needle. Do we have to annex it to the city? Do we have to modify the North McHenry Corridor Agreement? But Findlay Automotive had been given a one-year exclusive with Audi to locate an Audi store in either Stockton or Modesto, because there's not an Audi store in this area. And we wanted to absolutely make certain that we didn't lose the opportunity to have it in the Modesto area.
So we met with the city of Modesto, and we talked about could they provide water to it like they do to all the other auto dealers. We met with the CEO's office with the city of Modesto, and we all committed to make this project a reality. Here we are about a year later. They're ready to go. And it's really just been a pleasure. Staff's been a pleasure to work with, and the commitment of both agencies to get us there. I want to let you know that Bill Burchill and Tom Burchill are here with me from the Burchill Nursery, Dick Haggerty, Tyler Corder, and Jim DiGiulio from Findlay Automotive flew in last night from Henderson, Nevada to be here for this hearing. They're very excited about this project. Jim actually manages the Audi stores, so he'll be here getting the store off the ground. He'll be in and out of the community. Tyler is the CFO. They're really really a great outfit, and we're proud to have them. Mr. Burchill wanted to give you a couple of words before you take action. I'll have a couple of closing comments, and then if the board has any questions at all about the project, we'll be happy to answer those for you.
Morning. I'm glad to come before and give a few comments. The Burchill Nursery was established at this location in 1942 by my father, and I'd carried on second generation, and my son Thomas here, he's been in charge for about the past 10 years. Burchill Nursery has been in the community for 75 years, and we've felt that we've been a real integral part of the community. I was 8 years old when we moved to Modesto, and I've seen a lot of changes in McHenry Avenue, and Modesto growing the corridor, our main corridor going north. And this development and this change has been interesting to watch over the years. It's just an amazing activity, some good, some bad. When Pellendale came through as an artery, that gave some challenge for access and so on. And in the mid-1990s, we found that our nursery operation was not compatible with the surroundings as a McHenry Avenue business, and many challenges and so on. So we moved our operation to Oakdale and have done very well since there. When the proposal for something to make good use of this property came along, it was after numerous potentials and maybes and so on, more than I can go into. But when the Findlay proposal came, it just was a natural for an auto dealership to go on out McHenry Avenue. And everything put together, the development is just finally something that is going to be positive. In fact, as I came by just this morning on that corner, we've been plagued with cars with a used car sign in it. Their market is right there open. People are used to coming there to buy the used cars and their cars because it's been a plague to have this non-compliance used car lots on the corners of our county roadways. The Findlay operation, a multi-generation family operation as we are, we relate to them. The interest is tremendous, and they're an impressive and family group, and they're multi-generation. And so with all of this going into it, I really am pleased that it's come together as it has, and I urge your support to see this come into fruition. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burchill. And Mr. Burchill lives in the house, so he, you know, lives on the property, has lived on the property. This is going to be his neighbor, and he feels strongly about what we do out there. So going forward, the goal is to open the store August 1st of 2017. That's about a year from now. It is fast. That's a fast process. The Infinity store across the road took a long time. This property is severed by the Hetch Hetchy Aqueduct. That brings some issues. It's along McHenry Avenue, which is a state highway. That means we have to deal with Caltrans. But we're optimistic we're going to be able to do that. There's just a couple of things I want to mention. Certainly, as we move forward, we will have to continue to lean on your staff, on your public work staff, and on City and Modesto staff. If we have issues with Caltrans, you know, they don't quite respond to private citizens sometimes like they do to public agencies. And so when the time comes, if we need to contact Public Works or Planning or City and Modesto and ask for a little help or a push, we'll do that. to help meet our goal. The second thing is this is kind of a uniquely designed site plan because of the shape of the property. It's actually a sales office and a service office that are separate. After this approval, Audi representatives will actually come out, visit the property, meet with Findlay. They'll look at this idea. It's possible that that service site could move a little bit further north or actually attach to the building. If we do anything on the site that modifies the buildings, it won't change the square footage or the entitlements, but we expect we'll submit some type of a staff approval back to planning staff that they can just confirm it's consistent with the approvals. So as you know, most of these buildings have sale and service combined in one building. It's not unheard of that they're two, but that's one of the things that will kind of work out over the next month or two, but won't significantly change where our driveways are, how our circulation works, or anything like that. So there might be kind of a minor adjustment there. We just wanted to kind of let you be aware of that. So if a year from now you go out there and you look at the building and you say, oh, that service bay moved, you're aware that that's something that Audi will make the final decision about, but we see it as minor and easily handled. So with that said, this comes to you with a unanimous recommendation from the Planning Commission. We look forward to moving forward with this project, and we respectfully ask for your approval.
Thank you. Does anyone have a concern or question? Anyone? Okay, at this time, the public hearing is closed. And we'll return to the board for deliberation.
I will make a motion to approve all staff recommendations.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
We've had a first and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed. Thank you very much. We now will go on to the 9:10 a.m. public hearing.
Good morning again. Angela Freitas, Planning Director. It's my pleasure to be here this morning to present to you the 2015 General Plan Update, and with me this morning is Kristen Dowd, Associate Planner. The process of getting here this morning took a bit longer than we had originally expected. However, before I get started with the presentation, I just want to acknowledge Kristen's efforts in finally getting us here. Kristen came into this project about midway through the update, and despite competing priorities, has remained focused on finalizing the update, and for her efforts, I just want to acknowledge her and just say how appreciative I am of everything she's done, again, to get us here this morning. The update process itself has been a very collaborative effort involving coordination with many county departments, committees and boards, including the General Plan Update Committee, the Agricultural Advisory Board, along with outside consultants. With us this morning are Terry Rivas-Plata, Technical Director with ICF International, the firm contracted by the county to assist with the update and preparation of the environmental review. And joining Terry is his associate Lindsay Christensen and Lisa Harmon with Mead & Hunt, who has led the airport land use compatibility plan update effort, which has been conducted in tandem with the general plan update. The purpose of the general plan update is very much a cleanup effort focused on legislative updates, changes to codes and local standards, updates to agency names and responsibilities, and reformatting and reorganization of the document itself. The update recognizes the value of the existing plan and proposes goal and policy enhancements recognizing changes in existing conditions. The core of our existing general plan was adopted in 1994, and several updates have been undertaken over the years. Those significant updates include in 2006 an update to the circulation and noise elements, in 2007 an update to the agricultural element, and most recently, earlier this year in 2016, an update to the housing element that was conducted in compliance with state mandated timing. No changes in land use designations are proposed as part of this current update. The proposed general plan update has a 20-year planning horizon consistent with the Stanislaus Council of Governments, STANCOG's, adopted 2014 Sustainable Community Strategy. The population projections reflect by the year 2035, Stanislaus County will reach a total population of 721,582, a 21.3% change in population from 2010 to 2015 in the unincorporated area, for a total unincorporated population of 133,753. Overall, the projected 2035 unincorporated area population is 18% of the total county population. Currently, the unincorporated area population is 21% of the total county population. The legislative changes recognized in the update include changes addressing air quality, greenhouse gas reduction, sustainable community strategy, 200-year floodplain protection, groundwater recharge mapping, disadvantaged communities, dissolution of redevelopment agencies, and transportation impacts under the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA. In addressing sustainable community strategies, the policies and land uses reflected in the general plan update recognize and support the 2014 STANCOG adopted Regional Transportation Plan Sustainable Community Strategy. In addressing disadvantaged communities, a Stanislaus County Disadvantaged Unincorporated Community Report has been included as Appendix 1D of the land use element covering the state recognized disadvantaged communities located in the unincorporated area outside of Alaska adopted sphere of influence. Those areas include the Cowan Tract, located off Crow's Landing Road south of Ceres, the communities of Crow's Landing, Grayson, and Keys, the Monterey Park Tract, located out southwest of Ceres, and the Riverdale Park Tract, located southwest of Modesto along the Tuolumne River, along with the community of Wesley. The general plan update is supported by a programmatic environmental impact report, EIR, conducted for both the general plan update and the update to the airport land use compatibility plan, the ALUCP. The ALUCP is a standalone document addressing both the Modesto County Airport and the Oakdale Airport, and will undergo a separate review approval process through the Airport Land Use Commission, the ALUC. The Crow's Landing Air Facility will be incorporated through a separate process as part of the Crow's Landing Industrial Business Park planning effort, which is underway. The update to the ALUCP will be presented to the ALUC for consideration on September 15, 2016, and is not part of the project being considered by the board this morning. At this time, I'll hand the presentation over to Kristen.
Good morning. As part of this project, you, as the board, will be considering two separate parts. The first is the general plan update itself, and the second is certification of the final EIR. And I'll go over a summary for each. In terms of the update to the general plan update includes amendments to the land use, circulation, conservation, open space, noise, safety, and agricultural elements of the Stanislaus County General Plan. And California state law requires every jurisdiction to prepare a general plan that includes specific elements and content, and also requires that each of these elements are consistent with one another. The land use element is a required element intended to designate the proposed general distribution, location, and extent of various land uses such as housing, business, industry, open space, agriculture, natural resources, recreation, and even public buildings and grounds. A number of policies and implementation measures regarding unincorporated urban communities were updated and added, including updated language reflecting the elimination of redevelopment agencies, new and amended implementation measures to encourage the upgrading of services for existing communities, including supporting the establishment of self-help programs, updated existing implementation measures to clarify the circumstances under which connecting to existing public wastewater systems and water systems is required, and the infrastructure needs of disadvantaged communities, as Angela mentioned, were also identified through the inclusion of a Stanislaus County Disadvantaged Unincorporated Communities Report, included as Appendix D of the land use element. A number of policies and implementation measures regarding economic development were also updated and added, including a new policy and implementation measure regarding supporting efforts to direct economic development and job creation centers towards cities, while also considering approval of centers in unincorporated areas of unique character and proximity to transportation infrastructure, and a new implementation measure which encourages reuse of the Crow's Landing Air Facility as a regional job center. A number of policies and implementation measures regarding complementing the general plans of cities within the county were also updated and added, including implementation measures which encourages coordination with cities to identify opportunities to develop uniform development standards in city spheres and along all major county-defined gateways to cities and to formally acknowledge existing agreements. A new policy and implementation measure to encourage participation in developing a county-wide growth management policy, and a new policy and implementation measure which requires discretionary approval located within 1 mile outside of a city's adopted sphere of influence boundary and within a city's adopted general plan area to be referred to the city for consideration. A new goal with policy and implementation measures regarding promoting and protecting healthy living environments was added to encourage development that decreases air and water pollution, reduces the consumption of natural resources and energy, increases the reliability of local water supplies, facilitates alternative modes of transportation, promotes active living, and promotes the extension of public transportation systems and efforts to improve the siting of local health care options. And finally, in terms of the land use element, which is the longest element, a new policy and implementation measure addressing the compatibility of outdoor lighting with other uses was added, and minor amendments were made to the community plans in terms of language cleanup and incorporation of all the community plans as Appendix A of the land use element. The next element I'll be going over is a circulation element. The circulation element's a required element which consists of the general location and extent of existing and proposed county roadways, transportation routes, and other local public utilities and facilities. Updates to the circulation element include changes to the roadway classification terminology of the circulation element to be consistent with the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Highway Administration's naming standards. Minor changes were made to Figure 2.1 and 2.2 principal arterial access designation, including addition of the North County Corridor proposed alignments and the downgrading of a number of roadways, including Dakota Avenue. And tables throughout the circulation element were also amended to be consistent with the Department of Public Works standards and specifications. Narratives covering public transportation, rail service, freight, and aviation were updated. A few policies and implementation measures were amended and added to emphasize that the circulation element has a focus on a safe, comprehensive, and coordinated transportation system which considers a broad range of transportation modes. And a new implementation measure was added which requires development to identify and mitigate all operations and safety impacts to the circulation system. Implementation measures were added and amended encouraging reciprocal access easements and shared driveways. An implementation measure was added to encourage development with multiple points of ingress and egress to aid in traffic flow and the accessibility of multiple modes of transportation. An implementation measure was added to promote the transformation of the transportation corridors to be more pedestrian friendly. And an implementation measure was added to encourage alternative strategies be integrated into the congestion management process. Finally, in terms of the circulation element, a new goal policy and implementation measures regarding alternatives to on-site parking requirements was added. The acceptable level of service on roadway segments was amended from a C to a D. Policy language was added to reflect a focus on safety and to reflect a shift from LOS to vehicle miles travel. That's in response to California Senate Bill 743. And existing support documentation was also incorporated, including information on water pipe and utility conveyance systems.
The conservation and open space elements are both required elements and have been combined as allowed by state law. Conservation element considers the conservation, development, and utilization of natural resources, including water, soils, rivers, wildlife, minerals, and other natural resources. The open space element considers the preservation of natural, archaeological, paleontological, historical, and recreational resources. The update added language and implementation measures to ensure consistency between the ALUCP and the general plan, added a new implementation measure which considers adoption of natural scenic vistas, amended an existing policy and added a new implementation measure requiring any ground disturbing activity on lands previously undisturbed to mitigate impacts to riparian habitat and vernal pools, added and amended implementation measures to reference the Stanislaus County Parks Master Plan, StanCog's non-motorized transportation plan, and all applicable hazard mitigation plans to ensure general plan consistency with local plans, and added an implementation measure to encourage the development of resort services and recreational development at water reservoirs where appropriate. Policies and implementation measures have been added to support the development and implementation of water management strategies, including measures to coordinate with water purveyors, private landowners, and other water resource agencies in the region on data collection and groundwater conditions, to promote efforts to increase reliability of groundwater supplies through water resource management tools, to support and help facilitate the formation of an integrated and comprehensive countywide and, where appropriate, regional water resources management plan, to cooperate with other agencies, including cities and water districts, in the preparation and adoption of a groundwater sustainability plan pursuant to the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, SGMA, and to obtain the technical information and develop the planning and policy needs to improve groundwater recharge opportunities and groundwater conditions in the county. The update further includes added and amended implementation measures regarding solid waste management, including the evaluation of recycling facilities that receive waste materials diverted from landfills and transformation facilities for compatibility with surrounding land uses, and incorporates existing support documentation, including information on fish and wildlife inventories, parks and trails, and historical and cultural sites into the element. The noise element is a required element which analyzes and quantifies, to the extent practical, current and projected noise levels for a variety of noise-generating uses, such as highways and freeways, airports, and local industrial plants, identified locally as contributing to the community noise environment. The update provides updated language, terminology, and data, and added and amended implementation measures to ensure consistency with the updated circulation element, the LUCP, and the county's noise control ordinance. The update added a new implementation measure requiring active enforcement of the noise control ordinance to reduce the number of incidents of excessive noise, and incorporated 2005 technical reference document into the element, previously included in the support document, which provides a source of existing noise measurements, including a summary of long-term and short-term measurements of noise contour distances for major railroads. Okay, the safety element is a required element also, which considers the protection of the community from safety hazards such as earthquake, dam failure, flood, or wildland or urban fires. Updates to the safety element included the incorporation of existing support documentation and data and maps from the environmental impact report prepared for the project and from the Stanislaus County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. We also included a summary and references to the Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan throughout the element. Information was added regarding climate adaptation to be consistent with state law. An implementation measure was added to address legislation regarding the 200-year floodplain located within urban areas. An implementation measure was added to promote the design of the built environment to allow for surveillance of publicly accessible areas and crime prevention through design. And references to emergency access and evacuation routes, state responsibility areas, very high fire severity zones, adopted fire codes, local fire agencies, and local strategic fire plans and state fire standards were incorporated throughout the document in response to a comment letter provided by the California Department of Forestry. An implementation measure was added to consider the adoption of safety hazard overlay zones. An implementation measure was added to require airstrip easements for the purpose of protecting the safety of neighboring properties. An existing policy and implementation measures were amended regarding the development standards such as height, markings, and location for communication and wind power facilities within the agricultural area to ensure safety and compatibility with existing standards and uses. And references to the ALUCP were incorporated for the purposes of general plan consistency. The agricultural element is an optional element first adopted into the county's general plan in 1992 in recognition of the importance of agriculture to our local economy. The agricultural element focuses on the mitigation of negative economic and environmental impacts to agricultural land and the natural resources needed to support local agriculture. The update amended an objective and added implementation measures related to protecting food safety and supporting growers' rights to utilize the widest range of newest available technologies, added an implementation measure to encourage alternative energy sources provided they are not located on land considered to be most productive agricultural areas, and clarified that in addition to agricultural and urban uses, water policies also apply to rural domestic uses. The update further added an implementation measure encouraging the use of appropriately treated water, such as reclaimed wastewater and stormwater, for agricultural and urban irrigation, added a policy and implementation measure relating to the protection of groundwater for agricultural, rural, domestic, and urban use in Stanislaus County, including implementation of the county's existing groundwater ordinance to ensure the sustainable supply and quality of local groundwater, and added a definition for prime agricultural land to be consistent with the Stanislaus County Williamson Act uniform rules.
Okay, all of these updated goals, policies, and implementation measures were the product of a collaborative effort completed in consultation with the General Plan Update Committee, the Agricultural Advisory Board, Airport Technical Committee, and multiple county departments. In particular, I wanted to thank and acknowledge the assistance of the Department of Environmental Resources, the Ag Commissioner's Office, the Public Works Department, and the Stanislaus Fire Warden's Office for all of their assistance in amending these policies. A notice of preparation for the environmental impact report was released in April 2014, followed by a series of public meetings conducted throughout the county and an informational presentation on the update to the Planning Commission. And now onto the second portion that the board will be considering today, the final environmental impact report. The environmental impact report was completed for both the general plan update and the airport land use compatibility plan, which will be considered on September 15th separately. But the document does cover both. All issues brought forth through the EIR were mitigated through the addition of policies into the general plan itself. Any issues unable to be mitigated were identified as significant and unavoidable impacts. The notice of availability for the 45-day public review period for the draft environmental impact report was opened on April 19, 2016, and ended on June 3, 2016. And the final EIR, just so you guys know where to find all the information, is made up of the draft EIR and comments received on the draft EIR, a list of commenters, responses to those comments received, and changes made to the draft EIR after the 45-day review period. The FEIR is included in the staff report or in the board report as an attachment to Exhibit D. The FEIR identifies the following impacts to be significant and unavoidable, and that includes aesthetics, air quality, biological resources, cultural resources, hydrology and water quality, noise, recreation, transportation and traffic, and utilities. Comments were received on the DEIR from the following agencies: Caltrans District 10, Caltrans Division of Aeronautics, Chevron USA, the City of Ceres, the City of Modesto, the City of Turlock, Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board, the Del Puerto Healthcare District, Stanislaus County's LAFCO, Ryan Thornberry on behalf of the River Oaks Golf Course, a Salida resident, Mark Boone, the San Joaquin County Public Works, San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, the Stanislaus County Environmental Review Committee, and the Public Works Transit Division. The issues brought forth within each comment letter were evaluated in terms of environmental significance and in terms of technical amendments needed to the draft documents for clarification purposes. A summary of only those comments specific to the DEIR and or the general plan update were discussed in the Planning Commission staff report. All other comments received were either no comments, they were informational in nature, they included minor text amendments, or were non-environmental ALUCP-related comments, which will be addressed when the ALUCP is considered in September. The Planning Commission and staff's recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, which can be found on pages 1 through 3 of your board report, includes findings for general plan conformance in terms of public review, internal and state law consistency, maintaining a logical land use pattern without detriment to existing uses, maintaining a reasonable level of service, and finally that the Board of Supervisors adopt the general plan update. It also includes findings specific to certification of the FEIR, in terms of adequacy of the FEIR, and in terms of adoption of the findings of fact and statement of overriding considerations. And first, in terms of finding the EIR adequate, it involves compliance with CEQA regulations, compliance with the circulation for public review in response to comments received, the incorporation of all feasible mitigation measures into the general plan, and identification of significant and unavoidable environmental impacts. Finding the to certify the EIR, you must also find the EIR has been independently reviewed and considered, that the FEIR reflects the independent judgment and analysis of Stanislaus County, and that no changes made to the Stanislaus County General Plan update or DEIR after circulation involve significant new information necessitating recirculation. And finally, certification of the EIR also involves adoption of the findings of fact and statement of overriding considerations, which finds that the substantial benefits resulting from the project outweigh the identified unavoidable impacts. On August 4th, 2016, the Planning Commission, on a vote of 6-0, recommended that the Board of Supervisors certify the FEIR and approve the general plan update. No one spoke in opposition or in favor of the project. However, the Planning Commission did discuss issues regarding references to the Del Este water system and the Del Rio community plan, regarding base noise, and regarding groundwater supply and quality protection measures. A few additional minor amendments to the general plan are being recommended for approval today, including replacement of all references to the public water provider throughout the Del Rio community plan from Del Este to the City of Modesto, Updated Figure 2-1 and 2-2 of the circulation element, incorporating changes to the roadway classifications of Patterson and Coffee Roads near the City of Riverbank and minor technical cleanup in response to the City of Riverbank's comments. Incorporation of land use diagram area index maps. And clarifying language to Policy 1.20, Objective 1.6, protecting food safety of the agricultural element. Upon adoption, the general plan will undergo final formatting inclusive of these additional amendments. Based on the discussion provided within the board report and on the whole of the record provided to the county, staff and the Planning Commission recommends the Board of Supervisors certify the FEIR and approve the general plan update, including revisions, the revisions recommended by staff in the August 23, 2016 board report, inclusive of attachment one. And that concludes staff's presentation. We are available for questions along with our consultants and representatives from Public Works, DER, the Ag Commissioners, and the Fire Warden's Office.
Any member of the board have any concerns or questions, please?
Just a couple quick comments and questions here. First, great job. I know this has been a Herculean effort by all. This has been going on for a long time, and I appreciate everything you guys have done to do this, along with Supervisor DeMartini and O'Brien, who have been involved in this heavily. So thank you guys all for great work. A couple quick things I just want to point out that I think are good. One involving the circulation element. And on Dakota Avenue, back in Wood Colony, the heart of my district out here, we have a downgrade. Previously, that was an expressway. Dakota was called out to be an expressway in the previous general plan, and we've downgraded this now. And I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit more. What that it's become now? I think a major collector. I think is what we're. You know, I'm gonna let you guys kind of talk about that a little bit. And I want to brag about that a little bit.
Andrew Malizia with Public Works Traffic Engineering. So part of the Dakota downgrade, the original expressway and the 2006 general plan circulation element had shown Dakota going all the way down to Service Road, crossing a new river crossing, and it stemmed from the 1990 expressway study done by Stan Cog, 20 years ago. We just felt that it needed updating. The City of Modesto was working on downgrading Dakota as well as part of their general plan update. That will be coming out in the near future. We worked with the City of Modesto on that. We have now changed it to a major collector, which in our standards can be 80-foot right-of-way, and it can be 2-to-4-lane. Now, we have no intentions of widening it, but that would be if safety necessitated it, if traffic continued to stay on it, it would account for that capacity. But it's as far as we're concerned, it's a two-lane collector now, and it stops at Mays Boulevard. There's no extension down to Service Road.
Very good. Okay, great. Thanks, Andrew. So that was a great thing, and I hope the people of Wood Colony will appreciate that. Things have gotten much better there in their eyes with this general plan as compared to what it was previously. So that's a good thing. Okay, Andrew, thank you for that. A couple other things that I just thought were encouraging within the general plan. One was the as we get into the discussion of working with cities, with our nine cities here, just good language in here. You were always accused of, the county has been accused of in years past of working against the cities and looking to develop outside the city so that we can get the revenue. The language in here is just great that talks about how we will, as we look at plans and things, development, spheres of influence, we will have discussions and always work with our cities to make sure that whatever happens here is in coordination with our cities and collaboration with them. And I think that's a great thing that that's part of the language in here now. And then finally, just water, which is the most important thing probably we deal with in the county at this point, in the state at this point, and how we've incorporated language in here now dealing with water and sustainability and implementing water management plans in connection with development, which is another great thing that we've added in here that we've kind of had to add in here as a result of the State Groundwater Management Act. But it's good stuff to see that in our general plan. So those are the highlights that I like and think are great, and I thank you guys all for your efforts.
Anyone else wishing to comment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd worked on this committee along with the Supervisor O'Brien. There has been years of work involved in this, and there's a lot of parts to this. And I thought the staff presentation was very good, considering the scope of work that was involved in this. Just a couple of comments about it, and we could spend all day on this if we wanted, but it's the development of the Crow's Landing Air Base is incorporated into this, and along with changes to the ag element to deal with the food safety, groundwater ordinance, and using treated wastewater for agricultural irrigation. There's been just a lot of work done on this. This project, I don't want to gloss over it, but it's taken years of work and meetings. We spent $1.2 million on this document, and it's 3,000 pages long. So I think every aspect of what this county should be for the next 20 years is in there. I just want to compliment the staff and the hard work they've done on this. This has been a monumental project to do. And I think it meets all of my expectations. I thought it was very well done and got a great presentation.
Anyone else on the board wishing to make comment?
One quick question. The very first slide, or second slide, was on population. Population growth through 2035. I think it is 40% for us. And the other two counties that adjoin us, I can understand why San Joaquin is going to grow faster, but it has Merced County growing extremely fast. Any idea why that is? Is it just this is state gives us these statistics, or?
We actually aligned the population projections with those that had been prepared by StanCog for the Sustainable Community Strategy, so I can't speak to those numbers.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any additional comments or questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to follow up on my colleague's comments on how big of a task this was. It's hard to understand how much time and effort went in, and a huge congratulations to staff for spearheading this project. So many more people than just who are in the room today spent hours and hours working with the committee, and huge project, great job.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, first of all, job well done. And at this time, we'll open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak at this time? If not, the public hearing is over, and we'll return to the board for deliberation. Do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve all 15 staff recommendations.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It is passed. Thank you.
Thank you all very much, and thank you very much to Supervisor DeMartini and Supervisor O'Brien for all your efforts in this process. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now go to the correspondence.
This board has received a notice from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding the potential listing of the Townsend Big Ear Bat and Northern Spotted Owl as threatened or endangered, and the Livermore Tar Plant as endangered.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims, refer to the Chief Executive Officer, Risk Management Division. And at this time, does any board member have a report?
Mr. Yes. Chairman, I would like to make one comment. This Thursday, we are having our 8th annual health summit in the city of Newman at the Westside Theater. We have a Biggest Loser weight loss contest, which we have 9 teams this year. This is the most ever. Each team is 10 people. That's 90 people to weigh on the Ag Commissioner's scale. We also have a lot of vendors around, and we'll have an introduction from the mayor of Newman. The healthcare task force works on the west side to improve conditions for medical care and try and keep the community more healthy, stressing the importance of diet and exercise. This has freed the public, and I know they say there's no such thing as a free lunch, but this is an exception. We will give you a free lunch if you'd like to attend to this and come and see the vendors. And we're also having free blood pressure tests and glucose screenings also. No charge. So we welcome everybody. The way out will occur 9 weeks later in the city of Gustine. So anybody would like to attend, I think you'll enjoy the presentations being made.
Thank you. Anyone else having a report? If not, we'll go to the Legislative Fiscal Management Report. Stan Risen.
Well, Supervisor Withrow mentioned water has become a critical issue, and about 7 or 8 years ago, the county tried to help prime the pump for creating a vision for the use of recycled water by sponsoring a couple trips over to Monterey. And so I'm excited and pleased to announce that this Friday at 2 p.m., a significant milestone in the North Valley Regional Recycled Water Project is going to be a groundbreaking event. We're actually going to see this project come to fruition now. And the regional director from the Bureau of Reclamation, David Murillo, will be there, as well as a number of local, state, and federal supporters. So it's exciting to see this project getting launched now into a reality. And I know a number of you as board members have been involved in helping lobby back in Washington, D.C., to gain funding and support and cooperation in this. So I think a historic day. And hopefully some of you will be able to attend.
Thank you. This meeting then is now adjourned.